open up our Bibles, Genesis chapter 37. And we left off with Joseph being sent out to look for those ornery brothers. Isn't that something? You know, they don't like him, they hate him, but somehow, you know, God's got a way about him. And the father said, now you go out and find your brothers. It's like, and Joseph, such a sweet spirit, okay, you know, there was no qualms that, you know, they don't hate me or whatever. We just read that, you know, he obeyed the word of his father. He took it. And, you know, oftentimes we're making choices in the word of God that might not be very popular with our family, might even be dangerous, but it'll always be a blessing. It'll always be more than a blessing. It'll be a double blessing. It'll be a double portion. And you thank the Lord for that love and that sincerity to please the Father that Joseph, by the grace of God, had in his heart. But he's looking for his brothers. We saw as well, too, that where he was really in a place, in a wilderness and in error, which is a wonderful encouragement to us, too. Joseph wasn't a perfect man, and we know that. He's just a man. And we hear some wonderful encouragement and things of how he loved his father. And really, if you want to dwell on it, that's what the Lord sees. See, he sees the lovely, the true, the good report. He sees everything, don't get me wrong, but he sees that in you. There's always love. He's always for you. And if he be for you, who could be against you? And that mercy is always there, isn't it? Praise God. He's set before you, behind you, his hands upon you. And you know you don't do the right thing all the time, but it's always there. He's always there. And so he's in this place, and he's looking for his brothers, but we can see that he's in a wild place, as it says. And yet, it says he meets a certain man. And we saw that the word certain man means he met the bridegroom and a champion. And that's what's so gorgeous here is you think about how the Lord, he launches us out, but yet we continue to see bridal truth. We continue to meet the bridegroom. We're in that constant encouragement. And it's always for the much the more in our lives. We rejoiced on Sunday night. You know, what are we looking for? What do you see? And what does the Lord put in your heart to look for in the Word of God? See, what you look for in the Word of God is truly what you'll find. It's true. And I thank the Lord. By the grace of God, there's a panting that we're looking for the bridegroom. And isn't it amazing how he continues to reveal the bridal message in the Scriptures? Isn't that wonderful? And it's there, and it's there some more, and it's there all over the place. And I thank God for that, because as we rejoiced, even in that glass darkly, as we see that mirrored man I hope to be. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's what he sees in us. See, the Father sees the full potential in his sons. That's why he didn't withhold a thing. It's all here. We have it all. But what will we do with it? How will we cherish it? Will we awaken to that this is it? And I thank God that, you know, he stirred our hearts to really understand and believe the word of God. When he says something, it's true. When he tells you about ruling and reigning, he means it. God doesn't say things he doesn't mean. God doesn't say things unless they're true. And I thank God in what he's told us in the promise. And just like Joseph, the visions and the dreams that he's given us. And I'm not talking about your visions and dreams. I'm talking about Paul's gospel visions and dreams. Those dreams. And by the way, you can have dreams that'll be part of that Paul's gospel and all that. But I get people that tell me, well, you know, the Lord gave me a dream and I'm supposed to go here and there. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't see how that dream's lining up with the word of God for more of it in your life. So you can understand. That's just a challenge in your life. You have to get through those things. People always looking for a sign and a symbol. You've got everything. You've got the word of God. Amen? Hear him. Hear him. You hear him, you'll begin to see. You will. But not with your eyes. And you'll begin to think, and not with your mind. But it'll be, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. And then you'll begin to see, not just with eyes of understanding, but enlightened eyes of understanding. Beautiful how God does that. So, He's out there to seek his brothers, but he meets the bridegroom and the champion. And that certain one sends him to a place of Dothan. And we saw that the word Dothan means he's sending him into the place of two wells. Not just one, we're going to give you two. We're going to give you a double portion in this. There's going to be the much the more in the place that you're going to go. Now, it's going to be a double portion of revelation. But we know with more revelation in the Word of God comes more suffering. We know that. It's part of it. It's a package. It's the way that Christ is so thrilled with. We must suffer with him to reign with him. Joseph will now be tested. You thought he was tested with his brethren. He's really going to be tested. And he's going to be tested. Joseph, do you really believe me? Do you still believe the word and the prophecy, even though everything looks against it? You know what I'm saying? You know, you begin to step out in faith. I'll tell you what, it's going to be faith. You step out there and you're going to be singing and, oh, this is grand. I've got this vision and, wow, this is really a barren place and there's nobody here with me. And that's how God will do it. But the proving of the love the Lord knows is in Joseph will really begin. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Lord isn't proving something he knows isn't there or trying to figure out what's there. He's proving what he knows is there. He knows you. He knows you. And I thank God that he's going to give us exactly what we need. And that's going to be everything good from him. So let's go ahead and let's begin reading here, chapter 37, verse 20. And it says there, and come now, therefore, and let us slay him. These are the brothers as Joseph approaches them. And they say, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, they intend to slay him. And this is his own family, and this is his own brethren that have turned, and not turned against him. What are they concerned with? The dreams. It's the dreams. It's the word. It's the vision. They're upset because they're ignorant. They're jealous because they don't believe. All they had to do is believe, and they could have entered in. Amen? It was just like with Joshua and Caleb. You know, they came back. Those other spies should have said, well, thank you for encouraging us, brothers. You're right. God said that. Let's go in. But they didn't. Even though they heard the same word, even though they saw the same truth and evidence of it, their response was unbelief. Trying to figure out the reasons why it can't be. And yet, that's the difference in those that will overcome. It's not that it can be, it's just that it is. It is. It's done. We just walk in it. And you rejoice in the Lord in that. You think about how the Lord has put everything, God has put everything under his Son. It's just, it hasn't been revealed yet, but it already is. So by the grace of God, I believe him that I'm holding fast, which thou hast, that no man take my crown. I'm trusting in grace, that by the grace of God, he'll perform the good work which he's begun. I'm believing him. I'm believing him in the same way. And I understand, as the word of God says, not that I've already apprehended. I understand there's more of this good fight of faith, but I'm counting him faithful to perform it in my life. Amen? I'm confident in him. I'm so confident by the grace of God in his grace. I'm so absolutely committed not to Jesse, but I'm committed to believing in his mercy. And he gives me mercy to believe in his mercy. And I thank the Lord for it. But his brethren turned on him. Now you think about our precious Lord and Savior. Our sin, all sin, my sin, your sin, we nailed him to the cross. And in like manner, as Paul said, in like manner as me, we're going to suffer with the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. Read some things about these precious sufferings that we're called to. Spouses suffer together, don't they? They should. And that's why as spouses, we need to be a salve and anointment to one another. The enemy gets in there, you start to tear one another down, and that's a sad thing. Don't do that. Let your marriage be a testimony of the bridal truth. But in chapter 3, verse 3, it said, "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." See, we're appointed to afflictions. See, Paul's talking about himself, but we're appointed to them. These are divine appointments. These are the gifts of due benevolence. We speak about those. This is the gifts between a bride and a groom. He's giving us this now that we're occupying as a readied wife. This isn't just for someday. This is now. She is abiding in that marriage now. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." We follow Paul as he followed Christ. This is our life. And this is, it's just something that's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. In John 16:33, the Lord tells us sweetly, and I love how Jesus encouraged his disciples, encourages us, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Isn't that beautiful? I love how he says, yeah, you're going to have this, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm your victory, all that, and how wonderful. Now, Philippians 1:29, and I think this is such a beautiful encouragement here, and this is the gifts of due benevolence, and this is Paul again speaking. It says, "To us, brothers and sisters, that are running for this mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," in Philippians 1:29, "for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And how perfectly said between spouses that they suffer, and especially for that namesake. His name, we take that. We take the name, that bridegroom, upon us. There's a suffering that's entailed in that. Sufferings that I never knew, even as a kid. Growing up, I suffered with my family, some different things my brothers and sisters went through, mom or dad not feeling well, different things like that. But I'll tell you what, when you get a spouse, it's a whole different height of suffering. And the things that affect your spouse, and it affects you in a different way because it becomes it's your first love, and moves you. And then the things that you suffer in together, the events that happen to one another, but especially with your children, the fruit. Think of the fruit, and the fruit that's produced in us by the bridegroom. We know that the fruit comes through him. There's always going to be a suffering in that fruit, just is, because there has to be pruning to get it. And the abundance of the fruit, there's got to be more pruning. Amen? Yeah? Praise God. I was rejoicing with the brother. You know, we were talking about the Chaldeans. Remember, they were the clod breakers? You know, they broke up the clods and breaking up the fallow ground. And isn't that so true? You have to overturn the soil all the time. You got to overturn it. You got to turn it over. Sometimes your life gets overturned, doesn't it? But if you want planting and more planting in it to be broken up, that's the way it's going to be. You know, you're not just going to sit down this lotus land of ease and say, "Oh, I'm just going to lock into God." It don't work that way. Uh-uh. Everything's going to come off. Wheels and everything, believe you me. Jesus said they hated me and all, and they will hate you, didn't he? Amen? The word is never popular. It comes at a cost, especially Paul's gospel. And once again, to note, they said, "Let's see what will become of his dreams." Yeah, I'll tell you what, they came, and they came true, praise the Lord. And that's so thankful to Jesus, I can say that. I know it's already come true, but I'm waiting for my dream to be made sight, praise the Lord. So, this is the rejoicing, 21, 22. "And Reuben heard it. This is one of the sons, and this is one of the brothers of Joseph. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Let's don't kill Joseph. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben hears what's going down with his brethren, and he says, no, we're not going to do that to him. We're not going to kill him. And so Reuben, in a way, delivers him. Well, how appropriate. Reuben's name means son. The son, S-O-N. So the son delivered, just like the son delivered us. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that sweet? But the son is the deliverer. And as the Lord has delivered us, who did he deliver us to? The Father. Amen. He made us sons. Praise God. And that's where it's so sweet that Reuben is going to not just save his life, but he's saying, and we're going to deliver him to his father again. And there's a lot of encouragement we take there in many different ways. But soon, praise God, you know what? We're going to be meeting our father. Hallelujah. And we know that's all through the Son. Now, we've been spared, we've been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus and because he took our place. But it's interesting here. Isn't this something? We're going to put him in the, what did it say here? The pit that is in the wilderness. Now, this is really interesting here because this word pit means we're going to put him in a well. We're going to put him in a well in the wilderness. And I love that. We might be placed in a pit, we think, and placed in this wilderness, but it's a well. It might be barren country, but I'll tell you what, we're living in a well. The well is here. We've got it. It's springing up. And I thank God that we can always be encouraged that he always has that intention for us. But there's a perfect place for it. How exact were Joseph's steps? Just think. I mean, everything about him, everything from the encouragement, from the visions to the dream, to the bad brothers that got jealous, that didn't like him, and even the things he said. You know, people say, oh, Joseph shouldn't have said that and all this. Well, let me tell you something. If Joseph didn't say those things and testify of the things of God that were in his life, they would have never had that hatred that would have put him in that pit that would have delivered him to Egypt to rule and reign over everything. You see, God has purpose in every breath. He's got a purpose in everything. Trust your life to him. Like that. That's how exact God is. It wasn't that he did just did that with Joseph. He's doing that with you. And you even have an exceeding and great and a better promise. So I believe the word of God tells us that. So you know what we do? Let's believe. Praise his name. Verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of many colors that was on him. Well, that was the first thing that his brothers did. Why? Because they hated the glory. They hated that glory. Remember that coat speaks of the glory. And they could strip him of it, but it didn't matter. He already had the glory. He was already favored beyond. He was already the favorite. And they stripped our Lord too. We know that. Amen. Naked, shamed. But he was and is always all the glory of the Father. And that's what's so magnificent. I love that. And take that to heart. Take that encouragement. Yeah, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And, you know, in our lives, the Lord reveals to us such incredible truth. We were just rejoicing. I think we're praying Sunday night together. Just overwhelmed. That I see the depth. I see, yea, the deep things of God. You know, we see this. I mean, I'm so grateful to God. I hear him. I hear him. I hear his voice more than anything. Everything. You know that. We're in that body together by the grace of God. Isn't that marvelous? And especially that rib portion. To hear the bridegroom's voice. All the time, daily, moment by moment. And yet, There's times we come up short in ourselves. We fail. And the enemy, because once again, Joseph wasn't wrestling against his brothers. That was just the enemy trying to take him down. Well, the enemy is always trying to take us down, trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. He'll get you guilty and failure. He'll get you with pride. Oh, I'm going on with God. Look at me. Uh-oh. You see? You better know how to abound and how to be abased. Amen? To be full, yet to be hungry. Have to, by the grace of God, always, always looking to Him. Always at that throne of grace. But the reason I went there was to obtain mercy. I got to have it all the time. Because this critter, who knows where it's going. So it better be mercy all the time. Or I'm going to get so discouraged or I'll get puffed up. Amen? Amen. So we thank Him and rejoice. But see, they stripped Him, but it didn't matter. He already had it. He was it. It does not appear what it shall be, but we know when we see Him, we shall be like Him. They meant it for evil, but God cast us in a well for good. Huh? I think about Jonah. He was going to cast himself off the boat into death, and yet God had prepared a fish. Nope, son, you're going in the belly. And it was a well, if you really think about it. It really was, because it was the place that God spoke to him. Didn't look like it. Can't even imagine what that nasty thing smelt like, looked like, all of that. But it was a well. And people would even say, well, this was a dry well. It was a cistern. Let me tell you something. When the Lord's dealing with you and encouraging you, it ain't dry. You may think it is, but I'll tell you what. It's a geyser. There's water over my head to swim in. Get in. Jump in. This was the place that he was going to go to reign over it all, even though it sure didn't look like it, did it? Verse 24. And they took him and they cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with what? Their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And I'll tell you what, I love that. Italicized it. I know it's added. But they're going to carry it down to Egypt with all of that. I'll tell you what they're going to carry. They're going to carry Joseph. They're going to carry the glory. That's what they're going to carry. They didn't get that, but that's what God had a divine appointment. His timing is perfect. Everything. This wasn't an accident. This is absolutely perfect. Now notice, those brothers, they were sitting there and they lifted up their eyes. And when that means to be carried away. So they lifted up their eyes. They're seeing something about being carried away. And what was going to be carried away? Joseph. Joseph was going to be carried away. And who was going to take Joseph away? It was the Ishmaelites. Well, Ishmaelite means God has heard. God has heard you. Let me tell you something. Joseph was crying out to God. I'll guarantee you in that well. He was crying out to God. And I mean crying out to God. He was believing God in his heart, everything. Lord, I know you have me. And I'm thankful for this. And then, where were these Ishmaelites from? They were from Gilead. And Gilead means a heap of witnesses from a high place. So let's put this all together. So God had heard, and he sent a heap of witnesses from a high place to carry Joseph away. I can't help but think that someday, and oh, how God's heard me tell him I love you too, that someday he's going to come with those heap of witnesses and he's going to carry me away to a high place. And I rejoice in the Lord. You think, well, why do these things mean this? Well, this is why I love you. Now, so brothers and sisters, this is it. This is the way of suffering to reign. And by the grace of God, especially with this precious example and life that illuminates to us in Joseph, call those things which be not as though they were. Be carried away. See, when that happens, when you call those things which be not as though they were, you're carried away. And see, you already are away. You're already seated in the heavens in Christ. But what happens is your thoughts, your cares, that faith, it's made alive and quickened. It's carried to that place. And I think about the myrrh and the frankincense and all of that. Everything that was meeting him on that camel, it was all there. It was going to prepare him for that reigning. It's going to prepare you, the spouse, for him. And it's so perfect. The fiery trials are building in us to the day when we'll be called away by the bridegroom. Now look here. Immediately, Joseph is set upon a camel. And a camel, as we've read and studied through the Word of God, always carries the riches. Always carries the spices, the treasures, always the sweet-smelling things. And the camel carries the bride to the groom every single time. Whether it was the Queen of Sheba, praise God, and whether it was Rebecca, they know this. And I think how appropriate. It didn't say donkeys came. It didn't say elephants came. It didn't say, you know, he was going to have to just walk on out or whatever it was. The camels. The camels. Praise God. And it's it. And specifically, and that is so true, you got your camel and I got mine. A camel came. Praise God. Now, look here as well. To reign, where did he have to go? Go on back there. And at the end of verse 25, what does it say? Going to carry it down to Egypt. These are very profound things. To reign, we have to go down. By the grace of God, he must increase and I must decrease. And specifically, this is a descending, and this is very wonderful, to Egypt. Egypt means a double strait, a double narrow, and a double portion of it. Egypt means pressing. There's a pressing there. Double pressing, if you will. And they even refer to Egypt as double trouble. Are you sure you want to go? I mean, this is the place of double trouble. You got... And I love how the Lord says, you know what? In this world, you will have. Yeah, you'll have trials. You'll have trouble. But I thank the Lord. He's delivered me out of all my trouble. And I thank God. But this is the way. And this is the place that he takes us. And see, you've got to get to the place of that double squeezing. Because that's the only place diamonds are made. Diamonds aren't made at the halfway house. Diamonds are made going on. Diamonds are made in the fire. They're made in that suffering together with him. And it's true, that suffering for his sake. It's all there, and this is how God brings us forth. Now, verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit it us if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Now notice, this is Judah, and Judah's name is He Shall Be Praised. And we know that the Lord is from that wonderful tribe of Judah. And he says, let's hand him over. And it's all set now. God's hearing him. He shall be praised in his life. The camels are going to transport him with the treasure. And wait a second here. We got another little group that just showed up. We got these Midianites here. And this is kind of wonderful here as well, too. You'll see them in verse 28. We're going to grab them out here in just a second. But the Midianites are a beautiful thing because it means strife. So strife is going to draw him out. And if you think about strife drawing him out, you know, our life has a lot of strife, doesn't it? It really does. There's trial after trial after trial. So it says in verse 28, then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So God will use it all to give us even more. Think of this. You would never choose the way God has chosen. We just wouldn't. We're not going to choose that way. But that's how God does it. And it's so beautiful. And I do, by the grace of God, I pray, Lord, let my brethren, let us yield to you now in the things that we're facing. But even over all of that, Lord, let me love the truth. Amen. Let me love the truth. I want you to make the decisions in my life. I want to move in accordance with things that would be pleasing. But I always don't. You know, sometimes I don't. But yet he doesn't leave. And then as I trust his word, here comes Romans 8:28, and he works all things together for my good. And then I step back and I'm just more in awe of his grace and mercy and the beauty of my God. And I begin to praise him even more in my life for his mercy and his grace. And it wasn't that I was setting out to sin willfully that grace may abound. I just messed up. Because I go back to studying Romans 7, and this was his choice to put me in this sinful flesh. Now, I'm not blaming him. I'm thanking him. And I understand that good fight of faith. I was horrified today hearing, it's almost like a fearful thing to ever turn the radio on because I'm trying to get to a station and then you hear something just like that, just for a moment. And the person was saying about how, you know, you remember when, especially those that, you know, weren't saved most of their lives and then get saved, you realize how you lived in the flesh. You know, you lived in the flesh, and that's what it was. But then you got saved, and that flesh was gone. And I was going, oh my goodness, I got to turn this off and pray for anybody who heard that. I see flesh all out here. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. And I know it's sinful flesh, and we have an old nature. And it's there. And it's there so divinely and perfectly and wonderfully. Wonderfully. All for the good fight of faith. All for him that, man, this flesh can crave, it can desire, but yet greater is he. Greater is he. And he continues to woo us and continues to draw us through. And this is what's so magnificent here is, you know, God uses these things to give us more. And he feeds the prophets at times with ravens, doesn't he? He didn't always use the doves to bring them. Amen? And you think about where he fed the prophet a lot of time. Some of the greatest things that happened transpired after that prophet, after he saw the great hand of God come down and kill all those prophets and lick up all the water off that altar. And there he was, not a day later, laying underneath there. Oh, God, kill me. I want to die now because she's going to kill me. And you shake your head. And you know what? You can kind of say, I can chuckle and say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. How many times has God delivered me, and moments later, I'm worried about him delivering me. And then yet the Lord in his faithfulness says, no, I want you to feed. I'm going to feed you. and I'm going to feed you miraculously. And care for you. Now rise up, honey. Come on, rise up. We're going on. Isn't that marvelous? And know how he does that for you. See, he brings the increase through fire. Out of the ashes come the beauty. And God help us to continue to grow in this truth, to be those bridal ones for him. We're always looking for something romantic out of the ashes too. And I'll say that, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful then when I suffer for not my wrongdoing. I mean that. I am grateful to God. But I know that was his grace and mercy that even allowed me to get to that point. Do you understand that? Okay. But I'll tell you what. However I see his mercy and his grace, I'm still going to thank you. I'm going to praise him. Been some of the greatest growth spurts of my life. And I'm confident with you too. And we go on rejoicing. But as we close this up, notice he's drawn out of the pit. And how he drew us out of sin and death, praise God. But notice here, what was it for? 20 pieces of silver. 20 is the number of redemption. He redeemed us, praise God, but that was not all. He didn't just redeem us. That was only the beginning, wasn't it? You know what he redeemed us for? To grow up. He redeemed us for more. That wasn't the end of Joseph's story. It wasn't, well, you're redeemed, that's it, we're good. Okay. Man, that was just the beginning, wasn't it? It all really started there. And he wants more growth. And it's the growth for glory, for ruling and reigning. This was the beginning of the story of Joseph. And with Joseph's beginning, we see our lives too in this. We begin to know him more. We're going to really need to suffer to reign. And that theme will go on and on in Joseph's life, seeing over and over how precious a life is that God has chosen to rule with him. But that reigning isn't just for some time in the future. The reigning is now. And you're going to find that as we study and we go on with Joseph here, no matter where God put him, okay? And God put him. God gives, God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to read how Joseph was lifted up and then so suddenly it seems like he was taken down. But all was going on each and every time was God was taking away to give him more. God was increasing Joseph's vessel to pour more in. Joseph, we're going to have more trial. We're going to have more faith. You're going to have another test. You're going to expand. And I'm going to put in more wine and glory and more rejoicing. And we're going to go through this many times, son. We are. We're just going to do this over and over because I delight in this. Because this is how you please me is by faith. And you're going to see that this same pattern that goes on and on and on in Joseph's life. But let's go ahead and read verses 35 and 36 to close this. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. This is for Jacob, because Jacob rents his clothes because they come back to him and they tell Jacob, oh, dad, he's gone, he's dead, because they were gone, so they just told his dad that, you know, daddy's dead. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. But you see here, Joseph's gone. He's gone. His brothers came back to get him, but he was gone. And his brothers and his dad, this makes me think of the thought, the sorrow that will be when the bride's taken. You know? I mean, there's going to be a sorrow there too, the loss, the sadness, the tear that's going to be need to be wiped from the eyes. There's much here to encourage us in this, but I pray that this really encourages us to be alive and ready. And think of the unbelief of the brethren, the jealousy, the hate, the bitterness, all those things that kept them from that. You know? And they're always trying to make it better. They're always trying to do something in themselves to do something good. Well, let's save him. Let's do this. God's not after that. And he's not going to let that be. He wants you to have his best. He wants you to have his best. He wants you to go on. He wants you to believe him. And in verse 36, he's going to go down to Egypt. He's at the place of decreasing. See, Joseph right now, if we just stopped it right there, you know, his brothers hated him, but they were going to turn to save him, and they were going to bring him back to dad. Maybe everything was going to be all right, and it was just like, oh my, how could that happen? Because God loved Joseph so much, he wanted to give him more. And that's the truth. God wasn't going to cut Joseph's testing short. Don't look for your testing to be cut short. By the grace of God, let him have us. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We get into that romantic thing that, okay, well, this is going to be better. It's just like with people, you know, talking about that with David and Bathsheba. Well, you know, if he wouldn't have done that, and if she would have just stood up to that and said no, and she would have went back to Uriah, everybody would have just lived happily ever after. Well, maybe in the eyes of man, but not in the eyes of God. God wanted her. And there was only one way it was going to come, and it was going to come through some things that were very unseemly and hurtful. There was going to be death, shame, guilt. But I'll tell you one thing, it was going to come through her. It was going to be the seed of the king. Amen. And that's why we can pray, and I believe we can pray not only for our own lives, but for one another. I thank God. I thank the Lord to be able to witness to that young man today how beautiful and how wonderfully and fearfully he was made for the Lord. To rejoice, to say, aren't you thankful that you know your life needed Jesus? See, there's people that think they have it all together and they have even Christianity all right. I've got it in a nice package. This is how it looks. This is how it's going to be. This is how, you know, we're going to get it done. And those people have no concept of the mercy and the grace of God. There's no riches of glory that's being bestowed upon that vessel, because it has to be the vessel of mercy that receives the riches of his glory. And I pray that we understand that as Joseph, that even when he was exalted, even when by the grace of God, he was lifted up in the things that he trusted the Lord in, he still praised God for his mercy. And he wasn't ashamed of the truth. He spoke it and he told it. But then I also thank the Lord so much, even when things didn't work out right, we don't read of murmuring. And you know that that had to touch him for a moment. We're just men and women. We get disappointed. We get upset. But by the grace of God, encourage yourselves in the scriptures. Encourage yourself in who we are in Christ and what the purpose of all this is. I was speaking to my son this week, and there was something that happened to him. Everything seemed to be going so good and so good. And then, wow, out of nowhere, what happened there? Why was I put in this place instead of that place? Even taken out, just kind of felt like it was going the opposite way. And all I could say, son, that's the jewel in your crown. That's your rejoicing. You don't need to murmur. By the grace of God, thank him. Be a testimony, not to look at you to say, well, I can get through it. No, truly a thankfulness. You don't give and take away from me anyways. God does that for me. You realize that, right? I learned that as a kid. I'm telling you. I remember that brother, he got in my face and said, oh, you know, I did good in school and I got some scholarships and different things. And he said, oh, you know, you were always born with everything and given everything. Man, I just wanted to punch him right in the mouth. Probably should have. But that's another bad story, I won't tell you. But I remember for a moment, you don't realize how hard I worked. You don't realize the time I put in. You don't realize all the sacrifice. And then, man, God stopped me. And he said, son, I gave you everything you have. It was a free gift. It was my mercy. You have a good work ethic? Thank God. Understand this with him and take this for our lives. He'll exalt us in due time because he's faithful and true. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.